Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, late start. 9 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. Program 293 in this series. It's June 17th. It is Father's Day still.
Happy Father's Day still to you.
Still an hour's worth of Father's Day coming your way.
A quick mention. I noticed in our little opening there, it's at a three-hour presentation. On Sunday nights, it will be a two-hour presentation.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Well, that's right. We're on 2 hours on Sundays from now on, but we still have our 3 hours on Saturday. And tonight, for the two-hour show, we have Boston Blackie and the Life of Riley. Now, before we start things off and play our game, Cat's Pride, Crack the Quote, yesterday we talked about having a charity auction or a bidding to win our sign. Now, our sign says WGN Radio Theater.
It's our official sign.
Yeah,
it was given to us by WGN Radio.
Yeah,
it's the real deal. We are going to sign this sign and take you for lunch if you are the highest bidder. The highest bidder, every penny that we get for this will be donated to University of Chicago Medicine Comer Children's Hospital, which was recommended by Roger. We did a little research. It is a wonderful place to donate the money to. We are going to start the bidding right now as of 11:10 p.m. The bidding will end at exactly 1 o'clock a.m., which is when our show is over. And we hope that you will bid on it, knowing that this will be all donated to a charity.
Yeah. Now, not only do you get the sign signed by us, but we are going to take you for a fabulous lunch. We would love to not only take you, but one other person, so either your significant other or friend. Lisa and I will take you to lunch and a friend, and we're going to have a great time. And so that's all part of this. So if you want to text in, this is not, we're not going to say what the amounts are. Just the highest bidder will win the sign and the lunch with us. Now, the text in line is 312-981-7200. Do something charitable for kids, especially if you can afford it. I mean, it's right. I mean, if you're at a level where you can do something wonderful for kids.
And Carl and I will promise you that every single penny of the donation will go to the Children's Hospital. And of course, it would be our pleasure to meet you and spend time with you and have a wonderful lunch with you and a guest.
Absolutely. Once again, the text in line is 312-981-7200. We'll give it again a couple times throughout the show, but by 1 a.m., it'll be over, so we'll have a winner.
And we will announce the winner at the end of the show tonight.
That's right. Okay, we're going to play our game now. Cat's Pride, Crack the Quote. What is the movie, Lisa?
The Big Lebowski.
Okay, good movie.
Great.
All right, so the number to call, it's a different number to call, 312-591-7200, 312-591-7200. We'll take the 10th caller. Call us right now. We'll play live on the air after these words.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
We have Michael on the phone. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
So good. We're so ready to go. We're going to get through this as fast as we can. We're running a little bit late, but we want to play the Big Lebowski. Quote number one, dude, where's my car? Number two, I am a hot dude with a cool attitude. Number three, you got the wrong guy. I'm the dude.
I would go with number three.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude. Carl?
What was number two?
I am a hot dude with a cool attitude.
No, I like what Michael said. Number three.
Michael's on it? All right, let's hear it.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude.
I'm the dude. You knew that. How'd you know that?
You divide.
Good job. Congratulations. You have won a family pack of four general admissions to Sycamore Speedway. Get your motor running at the 2018 race season. Visit SycamoreSpeedway.com. So you've got four tickets to see that. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so
much
for calling,
Michael. Thank you, buddy. All right, it's time for Boston Blackie, fictional amateur detective created by Jack Boyle. And he was a safecracker and a thief, Lisa, but he went to jail and he was rehabilitated in jail, decided to use his knowledge of the underworld to fight crime. And he helped Inspector Faraday solve crimes in New York City. Now, Chester Morris played Boston Blackie in the movies, and then he played it on radio in 1944. But by 1945, he was replaced by Dick Calmar, who was really the best-known actor to play Boston Blackie on radio. We have an episode now called The Horse Room Thefts, and this is from March 25th, 1947. Here's Dick Calmar in part one of Boston Blackie.
Yes. 600 on Calabash and a fork. Check.
Yeah? Yeah. Another 200 on Wise Guy in the first.
Yep.
Tommy Jones,
okay.
The third.
Round Robin, 150 on Mystic,
yes.
In the second. Yes. Last on the 5.
1,000 on Howard in the 8th show.
Got it.
Check. Okay. Right. 50 on Malloway on the
200 on Calabash and a four. Yeah. Right.
I got it. Another 100 on...
Yep.
500 on Terrell in the 5th.
Yeah.
About time you guys noticed me.
Hey, Carl. The guy at the door has a gun.
A stick-up.
A mask and a gun usually means a stick-up, boys. Don't any of you move till I say it's okay. Keep those hands up in the air. All except you.
Me?
Yeah, you. Take the money on that table. Brush it into the sack. Come on, come on, hurry.
Better do as he says. You're telling me.
Hurry it up. Come on, come on. Must be 10,000 there. Sucker money, huh?
You're a sucker if you think you're going to live long enough to spend it.
I'll spend it, and I'll be back someday for more. Right, come on, you toss that sack over here.
Okay. Yeah, catch it.
Good boy. You didn't try to throw it in my face. And listen, boys, don't any of you try to follow me out of here, or I'll start using this gun.
Tough guy, aren't you? All you mugs think you're tough when you got a gun in your hand.
Sorry to disappoint you, boys, but I have a reputation for being a gentleman, not a mug. Maybe I ought to tell you who I am. You know, I mean it when I say the first guy to follow me out of here, the first to stop a slug.
Yeah. Give us your name, address, and telephone number. We'll give you a tip on a horse someday.
Well, I'm just telling you so you'll know I'll keep my promise about shooting if any of you guys get cute. Here. I'm Boston Blackie.
Sit down, Larson. Sit down. Have a peanut.
No, thanks, Haynes. I don't like peanuts.
Too bad. You don't know what you're missing. Well, you like chairs, don't you? Most fat men do. Take one.
Well, if I get much fatter, I'll have to take two.
Yeah, you will. Nice to see you, Larson. I need cheering up.
Well, they tell me misery loves company. So I thought I'd come up and be miserable with you.
Uh-huh. Your horse room get robbed, too?
Last night. Took $18,000.
He must be doing pretty well. She won't have a peanut?
No, thanks. I don't like them.
That's too bad. You don't know what you're missing.
I know I'm missing $18,000.
And that's not peanuts, huh?
No.
Who held you up? Any idea?
Same fellow who robbed your place.
Blackie, huh?
Well, he said he was Blackie. But would Boston Blackie really do a stick-up?
Why not?
Oh, he's too smart for a thing like that.
He's not so smart he can find a way to live without eating. He's overboard for charities. A gymnasium he's set up for kids must have cost him plenty. And that's only one of the things he's backing.
Let's not worry about Blackie. He always does okay.
Well, he's getting so big for his boots, he thinks he can get away with holding us up because... we're not licensed operators. He knows we can't squawk to the police, so he thinks he's safe.
Well, you know, that's really what I come up to see you about. Are we gonna let Blackie get away with robbing us?
You kidding? I got plans for Blackie. Big plans. I'll take care of him. Really ought to try a peanut.
No.
You don't know what you're missing.
To whom do I make out this receipt, Mrs. Morton?
To the Manchester Charities, Blackie. And also write, received from Mrs. Clara Morton.
All right. Mrs. Clara Morton. You're sure our organization wants to spend this much, Mrs. Morton?
Yes. We all voted at the same time we decided you would head the purchasing committee.
I'm very proud you selected me. Even though I have a hunch my friend Mary Wesley talked you into it. I'll work on this right away.
We want to buy this home immediately, Blackie. The need is terribly urgent. Children's homes are miserably crowded. The real estate man said he'd hold the property only until tomorrow midnight.
Good enough. Well, there's your receipt, Mrs. Morton.
Thank you very much, Blackie. And here's the money in this envelope. $20,000.
Oh, you didn't have to bring cash, you know. A certified check would have done just as well.
I didn't know that. This is all very new to me.
Well, it's all right. Mrs. Morton, I'll go out and see about the purchase of that house tomorrow morning.
Fine.
And I'm going to try to get it for less than $20,000, too. I'll phone you tomorrow and let you know how I make out with the real estate agent.
Thank you. I'll be waiting to hear from you. Oh, you won't be nervous with $20,000 in cash in your apartment, will you?
I'll put it in the safe right now and sit up all night long with a shotgun across my knees, Mrs. Morton.
Thank you, Blackie. The children will appreciate what you're doing. Goodbye, Blackie.
Goodbye, Mrs. Morton. Oh, back again, Mrs. Morton. Come in.
Guess I ain't making an intrusion now, am I, Matt?
Huh? Who are you?
Guy the boss sent up to pay you an anti-sociable call.
A what?
A call with an expression of business. Sorry if this is making an intrusion on you, Blackie. I used my etiquette and stood out in the hall till the old dame departed.
Look, who are you and what are you... Oh. I might have known. With every face like yours, there's a gun. Only the gun is always prettier.
Sure, I'm sorry to do this to you, Blackie. I know it ain't polite to point, especially a gun. But a guy's got to make a livelihood and...
Never mind the apologies. What do you want?
First, I want to offer you a little friendly tip. The boss don't like the idea of you cutting in on his profits, and especially in such a crude manner.
That's interesting.
It's of great importance to the length of your long liberty, Blackie.
Oh?
The boss says you ain't flashing no rod in any of his wagering establishments anymore, or else you ain't living anymore.
Hey, now wait a minute.
I hate to talk to you like this, Blackie, but I'm only working for a livelihood and imparting to you the boss's sentiments. And I'm also taking everything you got. To sort of teach you a lesson.
Look, you don't think...
Don't me, Blackie. I sure hate to do this, but I
know. You have to make a livelihood.
Yeah. I don't want to have to impair your health in doing it. To keep your hands up while I see what's around. It's safe. And open, too.
Nothing but papers in there.
Maybe. Since you were so polite as to have the safe open, I'll be polite and take what's in it. Jewelry. Blackie, you should be ashamed. You were kidding me. And this envelope looks interesting.
Look, that envelope isn't mine. And what's in it is...
Money. United States currency. Thanks, Blackie. You're extremely generous.
Look, take everything else in the apartment, but leave that envelope. That's charity money, and it doesn't belong to me.
That's right. It belongs to my boss now.
You take that money
now,
and I'm gonna...
Blackie, don't get angry. I don't want to be harsh with you. To let you be likewise with me. So long, Blackie.
Wait a minute. I'm warning you. If you take that
now,
money, I'm going
to... Blackie, be nice. Haven't I been nice and polite to you?
You want more of anything, Blackie?
Yeah.
The waiter's looking over this way.
No, Jane. Oh, I guess I've had enough for one meal.
You're cute, honey. Not enough for one. You had enough for three.
Well, food's good for the soul.
Yeah, for everything but the figure.
Nothing wrong with yours, sweetheart. See anything in the shops downtown that was good enough for you?
Oh, lots of things, Blackie, but they were all so expensive.
Oh, so what? They don't cost a lot. They aren't worth anything at all. Here. Here's a couple of hundred. Get started with that.
Oh, Blackie, thank you so much. Yeah, I was sure lucky to meet you almost the very day I came to town. You know, after you spoke to me, I still couldn't believe you were Boston Blackie.
Why not?
Well, you look so different from the pictures I've seen in the newspapers.
Oh, those pictures? You don't think I'd let the newspapers get hold of decent pictures of me, do you, baby? Oh, I'm not that dumb. Now, look, baby, I got work to do. Suppose you run on downtown, do a little shopping, and then call me at my apartment, huh? Know the phone number?
No, I don't.
Well, I'll write it down for you.
What time should I call?
Late in the afternoon, say about 5.
All right.
Here's the phone number. If there's no answer, look for me here at mealtime. I always eat here at Londo's.
Thanks. What are you going to do today?
Gonna be busy.
Oh, I see. Doing what the papers say you've been doing?
Huh? What do you mean?
Well, there were a few hints in the columns this week about you and those horse room robberies.
You don't say.
The columns just hinted, Blackie. They didn't come right out and say you were the one.
Well, I didn't see the columns this week. Well, maybe I'll have to catch up on my columns and with a few columnists. Look, don't phone me at 5, baby. You better make it around 7.
Oh, why so late, Blackie?
Well, I have a special job to do this afternoon. A very special reason to get my hands on a lot of money.
The teletype says there's been a horse room holdup, Sergeant.
Yes, Inspector Faraday. That's why I phoned you. The flash came in a minute ago, and the details are coming in now.
Yeah?
There's something about Boston Blackie.
Blackie, huh? And he yelled he was robbed last night. What does the teletype say? Never mind, I'll read it.
Oh.
Says, betting room 1119 Elm Street, robbed at 318 this afternoon by masked and armed bandit who got away with an undetermined amount of cash after killing Joey Hester, bookmaker, of same address. The killer escaped, but his identity is known. Before the killing, he boasted that he was Boston Blackie.
I can't believe it, Inspector Faraday.
You can't, and I don't want to.
Well, there's something crazy here. Blackie himself was robbed last night, wasn't he?
So he said. And when he said he wanted help, I believed him and had the detective bureau investigate.
Oh, there's the end of the dispatch, Inspector.
It's the end of more than that, Sergeant. I see what's happened. Blackie couldn't wait for the police to find the man who robbed him. That was charity money he lost, $20,000 of it. So he couldn't wait for us to find it. He had to go out and try to get it back by himself.
And Blackie really did hold up that bookmaker's.
Yeah, and killed that bookie.
Huh.
Sergeant?
Yes, sir?
This is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. But get on that teletype and send out a flash to pick up Boston Blackie, dead or alive.
Why did Inspector Faraday always think Boston Blackie did something wrong? He never did anything wrong. He was always trying to help the cops.
Yeah, well, we all are kind of have a, I don't know. The answer to
are
that.
You verklempt?
No, I just don't have the answer.
Yeah, Boston Blackie. I mean, Inspector Faraday should have learned, you know, after hundreds of radio broadcasts.
On.
That he's a good guy now. He's rehabilitated.
It allows for conflict.
I guess so. All right, that's the first part of Boston Blackie. More coming your way after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Hey, Roger.
You?
So, hi, Roger.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
We see you
I'm doing great. Congratulations.
We see you from afar.
Yes, I know. And about 7 seconds delayed, too.
Yeah. All right. So we're not giving the amounts of the bids we've had come in. Well, we've had some nice bids come in.
Excellent.
And,
I told you.
Yeah. And this is going to be a lot of fun because it's all, every single penny is going to a great cause.
So start from the beginning for anybody that just tuned in and tell them what you're talking about.
All right.
You're in the middle of a thought here.
Okay. So we have this really cool sign. It's our official sign.
It says WGN Radio Theater. It's yellow with bright red letters.
That didn't sound like me at all. It kind of sounded like Lisa, didn't it?
I was helping. Sometimes you need a little assistance.
You know, sometimes my voice goes a lot higher.
Because I talk like that.
Maybe that was me.
So anyway, this sign is our one and only sign. And when we're moving now over to 303 East Wacker, and we're not going to need the sign. So we want to offer it to our listeners in a silent or a blind bid. Right. So if you text in and you are the winning bid, the highest bidder, you will not only get this sign, we will sign it to you, but we would like to also take you for a fabulous lunch, you and your significant other or a friend. So Lisa and I will take you to lunch. We'll have a great lunch and we'll sign the sign over to you at that lunch. And all of the money that you bid in, whoever wins this bid, and we will announce the amount at 1 a.m. tonight, because that's when our show is over tonight. All of the money will go to...
Oh, you do need my help.
Yeah.
University of Chicago Medicine, Comer Children's Hospital. That was a great suggestion, Roger. And we are so proud to give whatever we can get from you over to the Children's Hospital.
Yes.
So we would love to do that. Whatever bid you could give us, we'd appreciate it. I'm sure the hospital will appreciate it. And it makes us feel good to do something.
Yeah,
nice.
And Roger, if you're available to come to that lunch too.
Would
you like to join us, Roger?
I would love to. All right, well, that
should add some value right there.
I hope we don't lose anything on that.
Whatever you're going to bid, double it because Roger Badish is going to join us.
Roger is
a celebrity.
No, yes, really?
Yes.
Of my mind?
In your own mind, you're a celebrity, so let's go with that.
But you also got to let everyone know that sign, it's not like you've kept it in storage or anything. That's the sign that has been in the window of the Allstate Showcase studio for the last... How many years now?
Three years.
It's there right now. And if you want to see what it looks like, you can go to our Facebook page. Today I posted a photo of Carl and me standing outside the Showcase studio holding the sign. So you can check out the sign. You can check out us. This is our farewell show. We are going to say goodbye to the Tribune Tower and hello to 303 East Wacker.
Yeah.
So we're going to make some great new memories. And along the way, we're going to try to do something really nice.
Yeah, well, with our listeners' help, because
yes.
I know our listeners are very, very generous. And someone will win the sign and signing it.
Carl
and lunch
and
with
Lisa
Carl, Lisa.
And Roger.
And Roger.
Awesome.
I don't know how you can do it better than that.
Yeah.
So.
Plus... it's going to go to a great cause.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I know there's someone out there that will win this. And
we will announce it tonight or this morning at 1 a.m. So you don't have to wait and wonder. 1 a.m. we will announce your name. We will announce the amount.
Yep.
And you can start bidding right now.
Be charitable.
So
the text in line to send your bid is 312-981-7200. Text in your bid. May the best man or woman win. 312-981-7200. 981-7200.
Dig deep, people.
Yeah.
Dig deep.
Dig deep. You can meet Roger Badish and shoot the breeze over lunch.
Yeah.
There you go. Wow.
I promise I won't be crabby at that lunch.
He'll be on his best behavior. I promise what Carl will do is say some stupid, silly jokes.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. I might say a couple of jokes.
Oh, there you go.
All right, there we go. I hope you'll dig deep, as Roger said, and send us your bids. 312-981-7200, going to a great cause.
And support, I was going to say, Comer Children's Hospital.
Yes. All right, let's get back now to Boston Blackie.
And now back to Boston Blackie. A thief who boasts he is Boston Blackie successfully robbed several bookmaking establishments. Afraid to go to the police for obvious reasons, one bookmaker tries to get even with Blackie by robbing him. In the loot taken from Blackie is $20,000, money belonging to a charity for which Blackie has promised to buy a children's home. Following this, another bookmaker is robbed and a bookie killed. The thief again brags that he is Blackie, and Inspector Faraday orders his men to capture Blackie, dead or alive. As we return to our story, Blackie is about to report on the missing money to the charity organization.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is a report on the purchase of the Manchester Charities Building by Mr. Boston Blackie. One moment, please. One moment. As you know, Boston Blackie has been doing charity work of all kinds on his own, all for a great number of years. Now I want him to acquaint you with the work he has done for us. Mr. Boston Blackie.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Martin, and ladies and gentlemen. You were generous to give me credit for my interest in charity, but you all know that Mrs. Martin gave me $20,000 of this organization's money with which I was to buy a place for homeless children.
And you did it too, didn't you, Blackie?
No, I'm sorry to have to report that I haven't purchased the property.
Blackie, why haven't you bought the home? The man said he had to have the money by midnight tonight. Wasn't the $20,000 enough?
It was quite enough, Mrs. Martin. But I didn't have the money.
But I have a receipt proving I gave it to you.
You did give it to me, Mrs. Martin. I don't deny that. But I don't have the money. It was stolen.
But, Blackie, the police...
The police, Mrs. Martin, don't believe it was stolen from me, I'm sure. In fact, they have other ideas about me. But I have until midnight to buy that house, and I'll have the money by then.
Well, you'd better, or we'll be forced to turn you over to the police.
Don't bother, Mrs. Martin. If I don't recover that money and buy that house, I'll turn myself over to the police.
$600 on Queenie in the sixth. Are you nuts? That race was over 10 minutes ago, and Queenie ran out. Hey, Pete.
Yeah.
Pete.
Yeah, Carl.
Come here, Pete. Grab this dough and take it into Boston. It's getting to be too much sleeve lying around loose.
Good. You're having a nice day with the suckers, huh?
Every day's a good day as long as there are guys who think they can beat the horses. Get that dough into the boss, huh?
Oh, sure. Sorry, I don't mean to be slow, but a lot of money makes me nervous. When I'm nervous, I'm slow.
That's all right.
Excuse me, Mr. Haynes.
Oh, come on in, Pete. Well, take for the day doesn't look bad. Peanut?
No, thanks, Mr. Haynes. They don't agree with me.
Oh, it's too bad. You don't know what you're missing. Let's put the money on the desk here. I'll put it in the safe after I count it. Sure don't want a peanut?
No, thanks.
Okay. I see where our friend Blackie didn't learn a very good lesson from you, Pete.
Yeah, I heard the bad tidings. He not only took a lot of hard-earned cash, but I understand he left Joey Hester deceased.
Yeah, we'll have to.
Just relax, you two. Nobody's going to get hurt.
Of course, it's a stick-up again. This is getting monotonous, huh?
Yeah, and I know who's behind that mask, too. Our friend Boston Blackie.
Good guess, Haynes. Now I'll just take that
dough. I hate to do this to you, Blackie.
Hey, you fool, don't reach for your gun.
Most brave guys are dead, aren't they? Okay, Haynes, now I'll take your money.
Go ahead, take it. Take the whole place if you want to. I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, but not you're going where you stink.
A phone. I can only manage to get the telephone.
Operator,
get me the police.
One moment, please.
23rd Precinct, Sergeant Sweeney.
Sergeant, I've been shot by Boston Blackie.
Hello.
And all my life, I tried to be so nice and polite to everybody, too.
You know, Faraday, it seems to me that I'm in this office of yours almost every day. I must like it here.
Blackie, this is not the time to fool around. You're in trouble, and you know it.
Yes, I know it.
And what's worse than that, I know it.
When you know anything, that's news, Faraday. But as usual, you're wrong. I didn't rob those bookies, and I didn't kill anybody. Somebody's impersonating me.
Will you stop trying to be funny?
Faraday, that's the truth. You ought to know it.
Look, Blackie, will you quit acting so innocent? This is tough enough as it is. I don't like any part of it.
Well, I don't either. Especially this part. But Faraday, I can prove what I'm saying. Give me a few hours' time.
Nothing doing. I've heard that one before.
Please, Faraday, just a few hours.
No.
5 hours.
No.
Four.
No.
Three.
No, no, I said.
Well, all right.
Look, I have to go into the next office in a minute.
Go ahead, I don't care.
Well, you better be here when I get back, understand?
Yeah. I understand.
Yeah, and I want you to understand this, too. If you're not here when I get back, don't forget I can pick you up in, say, 2 hours. And what's more, I will.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, the phone. Okay, okay. Hello.
Hello, Blackie.
Yes?
This is Jane.
Who?
Jane. Jane Powers. You told me to call you at 7.
I did?
Blackie, what's the matter with you? Don't you remember?
Well, so much has happened today that I... who'd you say this was?
Jane.
Oh, Jane. Well, why didn't you say so?
I did.
You did?
Yes.
Well, the connection must have been bad. I didn't hear you. I was hoping you'd call.
Well, you asked me to.
Oh, that's right. I did.
Well, I'm glad you remember something. Yeah, there's a funny thing about that paper with your phone number on it, though. The one you gave me in the restaurant today.
Uh-huh.
I thought I wasn't going to be able to call you.
Why not?
I lost the piece of paper, but I got your number from information. Wasn't I smart?
Oh, I'm getting pretty smart myself. Where can I meet you?
Well, do you think it's safe for us to meet? I mean, with the police and...
Everything. Well, it isn't safe for me to go wandering around the streets, but I'm not far from the public library.
Will it be safe for us to meet there?
Yes, if we don't meet in the reading room. Tell you what. I'll meet you on the west side of the library between the second and third partition.
All right. At what time?
Between 8 and 9. Between the second and third partition. Jane?
Yes. How did you know my name?
You were supposed to meet Boston Blackie here?
You're not Boston Blackie.
And no, I'm not, Jane. That is, not the Boston Blackie you know.
I don't understand.
Well, let's say, Blackie sent me to bring you to him.
Oh, well, in that case, that's different. Where is he? At home or at the restaurant?
Which do you think?
Well, he never wanted me to know where he lived. I've always met him at Londo's restaurant.
Well, let's go then. But first to a telephone.
Telephone? Why?
I have to call a friend. A friend named Faraday.
There's your Boston Blackie.
It's an improvement.
He always eats in this restaurant. He's the man sitting at that second table there by the wall. How did I ever get mixed up like this?
Never mind. You stay here with Faraday, Jane. I'll get a good girl, and nothing will happen to you, just as we promised.
Okay.
Blackie, are you sure you want to go over there and grab that guy alone? I've got the place surrounded by cops.
I have a personal interest in this guy, Faraday. Huh? And you may be just a little too impersonal about the way you treat a killer. Let me have 2 minutes with him, and then you can have him for the rest of his life.
Go to it.
And that won't be for long, either. Go ahead.
Thanks. Mind if I sit down at your table?
No, go ahead.
Thanks. Rather crowded in here, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah. You know, your face is rather familiar. Do I know you?
No.
Oh, but I'm sure I do. I think you know me, too.
Never saw you before.
No? I'll bet you know my name.
Never heard it.
Oh, yes, you have. You've used it.
Huh?
My name is Boston Blackie. That's your name, too, isn't it?
Don't fall for the table.
You fall for this?
You mean you will?
Get this.
Oh, yeah, you punk. Ow! Oh. Oh.
Come on and get him, Faraday.
Okay.
Everything he has is yours. With the exception of a few dollars, I imagine.
Yeah.
I think he ought to pay his check. even though he's checked out.
Nice mess we're making of that guy's room, Blackie. You think he told the truth when he said the loot was stashed here?
Yep, Barry. And here it is.
All of it?
Yeah, we'll have to count it. It'll take hours to do it.
Phew, that's some pile of money. The whole wall must be full of it.
Uh-huh, and don't forget, 20,000 of it is mine. Our would-be Boston Blackie admits he robbed Haynes, the bookie, and killed Pete. And it was Pete who robbed me.
I know you got 20,000 coming, dear. You'll get it. And those kids will get their home, too, huh?
Uh-huh. Say, did you ever find out why that guy called himself Boston Blackie?
Yeah, it was in his confession. He planned on leaving town after he was through here. And he thought if he used your name, the bookies themselves would get you if we didn't.
Kind of cute, wasn't he?
Well, that girl of his, that Jane, she was cute.
She was dumb.
Same thing. Cute, dumb.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Faraday.
You wouldn't?
No. For instance, you're not cute.
That's Boston Blackie, The Horse Room Thefts, starring Dick Calmar, March 25th, 1947. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a break. Then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater. All right. We have some nice bids coming in. We really appreciate that. The University of Chicago Comer Children's Medical Hospital will be very appreciative. We have very generous listeners, and we do appreciate you texting in your bids to win our sign that we will sign to you personally, and we'll take you and a friend to a fabulous lunch. Lisa, myself, and Roger will take you to lunch. The number to text in your bid is 312-981-7200. It's fully tax deductible, right? I mean, any kind of a charity is fully tax deductible.
You can write a check or something right over to the Children's Hospital, so we won't touch it.
No, we're not. We're going to want you to do that. Yeah, we don't want. It's I mean, all going to
the hospital.
We won't
let Roger hang out at Nordstrom. We're going to send it right over to the hospital.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think as far as taxes goes, I believe it's a 100% charitable
You'll have to
deduction.
Talk to my accountant on
that. Yeah, I know. Well, you have she has a slew of them.
She has a whole wing of her house that's filled with accountants.
My dad is a CPA. The most important thing is that you are donating.
Her husband's
donating.
A lawyer. Her dad's a CPA. She's covered. Completely. She's bulletproof over here.
I have no doctor. Well, my brother's a doctor.
Yeah, your brother's a doctor.
I just thought of that.
Brother's a doctor.
I got good genes here.
Oh, man.
You are covered.
I'm the runt of the family.
You're covered like a bedspread.
There you go.
Don't you? We would appreciate the donation. We would love to meet you and have lunch. We hope that you'll be generous and send in a text. And the good news is we will give the answer in 1 hour, exactly 1 hour, who the winner is. There's none of this next week stuff. We want to get this done and move forward.
Yep. Once again, 312-981-7200. Text in your bid. All right, you can win a 2018 Chevy Silverado. For details, listen to Steve Cochran weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. If you are a smart speaker user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. When we come back from the news, we'll tune in to a Father's Day episode of The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix. Good comedy.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger. All right, 9 minutes after midnight here. It is Monday morning. It's hour two. And as you probably have heard, we only are on 2 hours from now on Sunday night. So this is the last hour tonight. And then, but every Saturday we still have our 3 hours, but on Sunday it's 2 hours, and we're not, you know, we're bummed about it, but that's just the way it is. It was a programming decision, and the 5 hours is what we have, and we're very happy to have it, very blessed to have 5 hours to play classic radio for you every single Saturday and Sunday. And in this hour, we'll tune into The Life of Riley, a good Father's Day show starring Will William Bendix from 1948. But before that, we're going to play our game, Cat's Pride, Crack the Quote.
The movie is A Beautiful Mind.
Oh, yeah, that's a good movie. Mm-hmm. All right, what do they win?
They're going to win a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers.
You know, I started a streak again because I won the first hour, so I'm back on to my winning streak.
All right, well, your winning streak is one out of one.
Yeah,
so
one
far.
Out of one. All right, the number to call is 312-591-7200. A little different number, 312-591-7200. But that's only for until we move over to 303 Swagger, which is next week. So just use that number to call. We'll take the fifth caller, 312-591-7200. We'll play the game live right after these words.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
We have John on the line. Hi, John.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
John.
Have you seen the new location yet? Have you scoped it out?
No.
We didn't go.
You're flying blind next weekend?
We're flying blind.
We are, but we have each other. What else do we need?
I mean, here's the
thing.
And
a microphone.
Here's the thing.
And Shantae, you know what? Honestly, it's all Shantae. She's been there, and she knows what's going on.
Everybody other than you and I have been over there.
The honest answer is we were supposed to go, but we were a little negligent. So we didn't go. But we
Lisa
will be
had
there.
To curl her toenails.
Yeah, I had a, you know.
Now, I understand Nick's going to be turning out the lights at the Tribune Tower.
Exactly. He will be.
I'm coming back here. I'm going to do this.
By himself over there?
Well, what?
What's that?
Is he going to be doing your show by himself?
Well, he'll have his producer, but that'll be it.
Okay,
and we've got Aubrey, who is our engineer here.
You know, John, honestly, I'm like last. I don't even know where the building is. I don't even know which direction it is.
Well, we're going to drive by there on our way out of here tonight when
all
we leave here. So we'll be exit.
Exactly.
Anyhow, we're going to do this. A Beautiful Mind. We're going to play Crack the Quote. You ready, Roger? Number
yes,
one.
Yes, I am.
Okay, just making sure. Number one.
Welcome. 2.2 seconds.
Okay. Welcome to Princeton. Who among you will be the next Einstein? Number two, welcome to Princeton. Reality is merely an illusion. Number three, welcome to Princeton. You teach yourself the law, but I train your minds.
I'm waiting for option four, welcome to Harvard.
No, you can pick four if you want to. Mine or might not be correct.
Which one do you think?
I don't know. I'm kind of leaning towards three. How about you?
Mm-hmm. That's one I think, too.
Roger?
I'll go with two.
Let's go for it. Let's go for it.
Okay, and just so you know, Carl, I'm going to say this before I play this. Carl, what was one of my favorite shows growing up with John Houseman?
Paper Chase.
Right, and what did he used to say?
I don't know.
You teach yourself the law, but I train your mind. And that's where I got that quote from.
So
Shantae,
it's number one then.
Welcome to Princeton. Who among you will be the next Einstein?
Number one,
it
right?
It was number one, but you guys were so close. That's where I got quote number three from. Anyway, you are a winner, John. It doesn't matter. You've won the desktop indoor weather station. It is brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. Thank you so much for playing. You were a lot of fun.
Well, I do have an answer for your tax deductibility question. Being someone who has done tax returns for the last 7 years.
Yes, sir.
Anything that is tax deductible for charities has to be done on what is called the Schedule A or the long form. Now, the total of that form has to be greater than your standard deduction, which this past year for a married couple was $12,600. Now, according to Trump's new tax plan, that number is going to be double next year.
Okay, so Plenty of room there for people to be charitable.
Well, and not only that, but whenever there's a prize involved, you have to deduct, you know, like, say the value of the prize is $5,000.
John, I'm sorry, I got to cut you off. If I don't get into this show, we're gonna be way late. But thank you, I appreciate it, and I would love to talk to you about it. But you're a winner. Appreciate it. All right, Lisa, you ready for The Life of Riley? I'm not even going to give the synopsis about the series because we're way late. This is an episode from June 19th, 1948, Father's Day show, William Bendix, part one of The Life of Riley.
It's new. It's amazing. It's Prell, P-R-E-L-L, Procter & Gamble's new Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube. Prell brings you The Life of Riley. Prell, the shampoo that removes unsightly dandruff in as little as 3 minutes and leaves hair radiantly clean, radiantly lovely, presents The Life of Riley, with William Bendix as Riley. Well, this Sunday will dawn like any other Sunday, but for many men like Chester A. Riley, it will have a special significance. Yes, Father's Day, the day King Daddy comes into his own. And this year, Riley hopes things will be different than on last Father's Day, when he rose early, eagerly anticipating the tribute so rightfully his. And the first person to greet him was his wife, Peg.
Good morning, Riley, dear. Happy Father's Day. This is for you, from me.
From me? Oh, thanks, Dumplin'. But really, you shouldn't have done it. Handkerchiefs! Just what I needed.
Do you like them? They're the extra large size.
Perfect for my nose. Thanks, Dumplin'. You're really sweet.
Well, you deserve it, dear. After all, you are a father.
Yeah, but I owe that all to you.
And then a little later...
Good morning, Daddy. Happy Father's Day. Here's a little something for you.
For me? Oh, Babsy, you shouldn't have done it. Now, let's see what you... Oh, Babsy, darling, just what I needed, a mahogany lunchbox.
Daddy, it's a cigar humidor.
Oh, well, it's really beautiful, honey. Boy, if I was a cigar, I'd love to lay in here.
And finally, Riley was greeted by his son and heir, Junior, who said...
Hello, Pop. Goodbye, Pop.
Oh, Junior, you shouldn't have... Wait, Junior! Wait, Junior, come back.
What's the matter, Pop? I'm in a big hurry.
Well, didn't you forget something, Sonny dear?
Forget? Forget what?
Junior, you know what day today is today?
Huh? Today?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. I almost did forget. I'll go get it now.
Oh, that's fine. Junior, wait. Can you give me a little hint what it is?
Well, you know. Gopher poison. I'll get you a pint.
Junior, you know I never touched this. Gopher poison?
Well, you told me to be sure and get gopher poison, Sonny, because you need it for the backyard. I'll be right back.
Well, wait, Junior. I'm going with you. Wait. A lot he thinks of me. All year long, I slave for him, and on Father's Day, he buys drinks for a strange gopher.
Come on, Pop. Let's get home and go to work on the gophers. I got to play ball later.
No, wait a minute, Junior. Look at all that swell stuff Pitlack has in his window here. All men's stuff, too. I wonder why.
Well, it's a haberdashery, that's why. He only sells men's stuff. Oh, come on, Pop. We're wasting time.
No, we ain't. It's a good idea to see what people are trying to sell to people who want to buy. Someday you might want to buy something like that red bathrobe there with the blue dragon. Only $12.63. What a beauty.
Me buy stuff in here? On my income? 30 cents a week?
So what? It means a lot to people when someone they love remembers them. And it ain't the principle, it's the gift that counts.
Yeah, that's right. Mom sure was happy with the chocolates I gave her on Mother's Day.
Yeah, she sure was. But of course, your mother ain't the only one in the family you love, is she?
Oh, of course not, Pop. I love you, too.
Well?
But you don't expect me to buy you a gift on Mother's Day.
No, of course not. But as the saying goes, every dog has his day.
Yoo-hoo, Mr. Riley. It's me, Waldo Binney.
Hello, Waldo. Where are you, Waldo?
In front of you. Lower your eyes a little.
Hiya, Waldo. How's my little neighbor today?
Oh, my sagging sacroiliac.
Well, what's making it sag this time?
I'm disappointed over the gifts I got for Father's Day.
You're disappointed? But, Waldo, you have no kids.
I know, but we have three turtles, Manny, Moe, and Jack. And every Father's Day, my wife gets the turtles something to give me.
Oh, I see. Well, that's sweet. What did the turtles give you this year?
A box of dead flies.
Well, at least you got something. My junior forgot all about it.
Well, you know how boys are. It probably just slipped his mind.
Oh, you don't understand, Waldo. It goes deeper than that. I always say, show me where a boy forgets his father on Father's Day, and I'll show you a father who's too stupid to raise his kids right.
Come now, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't get into a pep about
it. I'll go even further. To my son, I'm nothing. Father's Day. To Junior, I'm only a stranger who's living with his mother. I'll go even further. He's an ungrate.
There's the phone, Mr. Riley. Anyone inside to answer?
Junior, it's probably his girlfriend, that Marilyn Morris. He's always gabbing with her. Boy of 13. Does he think about his father? No. All he thinks about is girls. What's happening to the kids of today?
Well, after all, a boy of Junior's age is normal for him to be in love. He'll grow out of it when he gets married.
Hello, Marilyn. How are you, Drip?
Drip. He never calls me that. I tell you, that Marilyn's a bad influence on him.
Oh, my pa's fine, thanks. How's your old man?
You see, she was asking after me. Swell little kid, that Marilyn.
No, he's not around. No, I don't know what to get him. Well, I saw a bathrobe at Pitlack's men's shop. It was neat.
Waldo, I was wrong. He remembered. He remembered.
Mr. Riley, control yourself. Please put me down.
I'm sorry, Waldo.
Yeah, I know, but... Gee, Marilyn, it cost $12.63.
He's gonna buy me a bathrobe. Ain't he a swell little ungrate?
I know, but where can I get that kind of money? Okay, goodbye.
Too bad, Mr. Riley. I guess you're not getting the robe after all.
Who ain't? All he needs is $12.63, right? And it's for a good cause, ain't it? Me. I'll just slip the dough to him so he'll think he found it by accident, see?
Oh, that's ingenious.
Sure. Junior may be 13, but believe me, I'm his mental equal.
Feeling good, Riley?
Yes, sir, and how. Oh, that sure was a nice dinner we had for lunch. Yes. Junior, darling, please go look in my tobacco jar. I want to smoke my pipe and kill off the smell of that gopher poison.
Oh, I'll look for you, Daddy.
No! No, let Junior do it.
Where is it, Pop? It's here. Hey, look at all the money in here.
Money? You don't say.
Well, I declare. How much?
Well, I'm counting it. It's 10, 11... $12.62.
63 cents.
Oh, yeah. Here's another penny.
Oh, such an odd amount. Is it yours, Riley? It's your tobacco jar.
Now, you know I don't smoke money. So it can't be mine. Anyway, the law says finders, keepers. Congratulations, Junior.
Well, Pop, it's your tobacco jar, so that makes it yours. Here, take it.
Well, Junior, I'm ashamed of you trying to cheat your own father into that money. You keep it.
Babs, is it yours? Why, no, Mother. I wish it were. Junior?
Oh, gosh, no.
Riley, are you sure you didn't put it there?
Now, why would I do that? I tell you, it ain't mine.
Well, then it must be mine. Hand it over, Junior.
What a revolting development this is.
Did it work, Mr. Riley?
Yes, Sir Waldo. It worked like a charm. I took the $12.63 that you lent me, and I slipped it into Junior's coat pocket. And then I spied on him.
Oh, I'm all goose pimples.
Yeah, and when he found it, he beat it right down to Pitlack's men's store.
Oh, say, that's just splendid. But what if the boy catches us here in his room?
No, he won't. Let's see, maybe under the bed, yeah. Yeah, here's the box he brought home a while ago.
What a loyal son. I'll bet he got you that bathrobe.
Oh, he shouldn't have done it. Now, let's make sure that he did.
Hurry, Mr. Riley.
Yeah, I'm getting it open. Oh, boy!
It's a red one.
With a belt and sleeves, too, and a blue dragon. He remembered Waldo out of a clear sky.
Better put it back now before you get caught snooping.
No, he's playing baseball. Oh, I gotta try it on. I want to see if it looks as good on me as it did on the dummy in the window. Oh, get a load of me and my boys present. What a wonderful feeling.
Mr. Riley, I heard something. Take off that robe.
No, let me grovel in it for a while.
Junior, are you home?
Yeah, who's that?
Junior, is that... Oh, it's you, Mr. Riley.
Oh, hello, Marilyn. Waldo, this is Marilyn Morris, Junior's little girlfriend.
I beg your pardon. Junior's fiancé.
Oh. Excuse me, Junior's fiancé. Junior ain't here, Marilyn.
So I see. Mr. Riley, what are you doing in my Junior's room?
Well, I just came in for a minute.
If Junior wants to let you snoop in his room while he's out, that's up to him. But once I marry him, it'll have to stop.
She's moving in already.
And just what are you doing wearing my father's robe?
Well, I was just seeing if it fits your father's robe.
Why, yes. Didn't Junior tell you?
No. I don't believe it. Junior got this for me for Father's Day.
I'm awfully sorry, but it's for my father. You ask Junior when he gets home. So I'll just take it, please.
Here, Marilyn.
Thank you. Bye.
Waldo, I gotta sit down.
Now, don't take it so hard, Mr. Riley.
This is how he repays me after all I've done for him. When he was born, who visited him in the hospital? I did. When he had poison ivy, who helped him scratch? I did. Plenty of sacrifices I made for that boy.
Oh, dear. Under this vest of mine, my heart is bleeding for you.
Then how does he show his gratitude? He buys a gift for Marilyn's father with my money.
Well, tell me, what sort of a man is this, Mr. Morris?
He's nothing but a big bag of wind. He's an overstuffed, stuffed shirt. He's snooty, he's obnoxious, and... Oh, how I wish I was him.
We'll hear the second act of The Life of Riley in a moment.
All right, there you have it, the first half of The Life of Riley, June 19th, 1948, a Father's Day show starring William Bendix. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Well, this will probably be the last time we will announce our blind bid to win our sign. So the text in line is 312-981-7200. Get your bids in. We have had quite a few bids. Very generous. We really appreciate our listeners. And not only do you win the sign, our WGN Radio Theater sign that we will sign to you personally, but we're going to take you and a friend to lunch. Roger, Lisa, and I will take you to a fabulous lunch as a part of this. And all of the money that you bid will go to the Children's Hospital of Comer's Children's Hospital here in Chicago, right,
yeah,
Lisa?
Yeah, which is part of the University of Chicago. So it is a wonderful donation, and we would love to meet you. And there's only about 20 minutes left, so get your bid in now.
Yeah, the text in line once again, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200.
And we will announce the winner at 1 o'clock as soon as the show
is
over.
Yes, we will. All right, it is time now for the conclusion to The Life of Riley.
And now back to The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley.
Riley! Oh, Riley!
I'm in here, Dublin.
Oh, hello, dear. You should have come to the movies with me. It was... Why, Riley, what's wrong? You don't look well. Your face.
Sorry, but it's the only one I got. I'm okay.
Where's Junior?
I don't know, and I don't care.
Why, Riley, that... Oh, I see. He didn't come through with a Father's Day gift.
Well, he gave me something, all right. A headache.
Well, the day isn't over yet.
He'll probably remember.
It ain't the gift that I care about, but it shows he ain't got no respect for me.
Oh, now that's ridiculous.
Here I feed him and clothe him and give him an allowance, and he don't care enough for me to buy a little something for Father's Day. If he acts like that now, what can I expect from him when I'm too old to work and I'm broke? He'll send me to the poorhouse. That's the kind of a son he'll turn out.
Oh, now, Riley, you're exaggerating this whole
thing. I ain't exaggerating. I know his type. And I'm warning him right now. The day he sends me to the poorhouse, I'll cut him out of my will without a cent.
It's a very nice robe, Marilyn.
You really think so, Mother? Junior selected it for me. I gave him the money.
But your father can't use two robes, dear.
But I didn't know you were getting him one, too. Now what'll I do for a gift?
Well, you can give your father one of the presents your brother got for him. He got two, a pipe and pipe rack. And you can return this robe to Pitlack.
I have a better idea. I'm afraid Junior isn't going to get Mr. Riley anything for Father's Day. He was broke this morning.
Oh, that's a shame.
Mother, maybe I ought to send this to Mr. Riley and let him think it's from Junior.
Well, you paid for it, dear, but don't you think...
I'll do it. I might as well face it. Mr. Riley is my future father-in-law.
Yeah?
I've got a package for Mr. Riley. Sign here, please.
Package for me? But it's a robe from Junior. The darling boy bought one for me, too. He went back to Pitlack's and he...
This isn't from Pitlack's. It's from a Mrs. Morris. Sign here, please.
Mrs. Morris? Well, what's she got to... Well, then, this must be the same robe Junior got Marilyn's father. They're sending it back to me.
Sign here, please.
I get it. The Morrises feel sorry for me.
Naturally, a man your age who can't sign his name.
They took pity on me because Junior forgot me.
Sign here, please. I may be drafted any minute. The Senate is staying up tonight just for little me.
Well, they ain't getting away with it. I'll show that, Morris. I don't want no secondhand leftover presents for Father's Day.
Yes? Oh, it's you, Riley.
Mr. Morris, take back your cheesy bathrobe.
I'll...
Shop.
Mr. Pitlack, this is Waldo Binney. You had a red bathrobe with a blue dragon in your window.
Oh, that wasn't sold, but I have an excellent duplicate which is also just like it.
Oh, fine. Charge it to me, but deliver it immediately to Mr. Riley. 1313 Blue View Terrace.
Yes, sir.
And put in a card to Pop from Junior.
Yeah?
Package for Mr. Riley. Sign here, please. Just hold this pencil and I'll steer your hand.
Yeah, sure. Wait a minute. This looks like... I thought so. That bathrobe is back again. That Morris, he won't take no for an answer. Well, I'll fix him.
Yes? Oh, it's you again, Riley.
Listen, Morris, in case you didn't get me the first time, I don't want this bathrobe. Here!
Mother, I got it.
Oh, that's fine, Ben.
Oh, it's a lovely robe, red with a blue dragon. Mr. Pitlack said they're very popular lately. He sold three today.
Well, I've made out the card to Pop from Junior. Oh, that boy, imagine forgetting about Father's Day.
Oh, he's just a dizzy infant. I'll leave the robe on the couch in the living room. Oh, Daddy will be thrilled.
Oh, it is nice. When your father sees it, he'll go wild.
Hey,
Greg. Fine thing. Nobody even... What's this? Again with that bathrobe. It keeps coming back like an itch. That's Morris. Now he's breaking in my house to make me take it.
Yes? Oh, it's you, Riley. Now listen, I'm getting tired.
You're getting tired. Well, it's me that's been doing the walking. I'm telling you for the last time,
now
take back your bat.
Now,
and keep it back.
Oh, my feet. I gotta rest. I'll stretch out on the grass here. Oh, I'm dead.
If you can say it, then there's no truth to it.
Who's that?
It is I, Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker.
Hello, Digger.
Greetings, Riley. You're looking fine. Very natural.
I didn't see you. I had my eyes closed.
I look better, believe me.
Ain't you in the wrong park, Digger?
Oh, no, this is strictly social. I'm on my way to the weekly meeting of the UEPNBS.
UEPNBS?
The Undertakers, Embalmers, and Pallbearers Nature Boys Society. Our slogan is, let us help you get close to Mother Earth. Care to come along?
No, not the way I feel now. I got troubles, Digger, on account of my kid.
Ah, yes, children can be a problem. Yesterday, a gang of scurrilous scamps stole a sign from a cigar store that had a special Father's Day sale. And then they hung it on the door of my business establishment. Ooh, I was furious.
Why? What did the sign say?
Let us save you all the fuss and bother. We'll be glad to deliver a box for Father.
Sure. Every store has signs. My boy didn't even remember me. I tell you, the kids of today got no respect.
Well, that isn't true of my offspring. My boys worship the very ground I work in.
Well, it ain't the gift so much, but... Well, at work Monday, all the guys will be bragging what their kids gave them, and I'll be ashamed to face them.
Well, you needn't be. Buy a gift yourself and pretend it's from Junior. That will remind the dear lad of his neglect. And teach him a lesson for the future.
Yeah. Hey, that is an idea. Digger, you're a pal. Someday I gotta do something for you.
Don't worry. Someday you will. Well, cheerio. I'd better be shoveling off.
Well, Dumplin', how do I look in the swell new bathrobe that my boy Junior gave me?
Oh, you look wonderful, dear.
Oh, you're absolutely handsome in it, Daddy. And that dragon on the back is beautiful.
Yeah, that dragon brings out my personality. I wish Junior was home to tell me how I look in it. I'm going to take another gander in the mirror.
Oh, Babs, I'm so glad we bought him that robe.
Oh, you'll have to tell Junior not to let on that it wasn't from him.
Yes, sir. Some people might have thought Junior forgot me, but not my boy. When he comes home, I want to talk to him private, right away, before anyone else does.
Good evening, one and all.
Well, come right in, Waldo. You're just in time to see me in my Father's Day present.
Wonderful, wonderful. I see they delivered. You got the robe from Junior?
Why, how did you know that, Mr. Binney?
Oh, a little bird told me.
Hi, Pop. I'm sorry I'm so late, but I finally got it. Pop, where did you get that?
Junior, you're losing your memory. You sent me this robe. Remember? Come outside.
I sent it? Oh, no,
Junior,
Papa.
Don't contradict me. Come in your room a second.
Oh, but Pop.
Now,
Papa's...
don't argue, Junior. You sent your father that robe.
Yes, Junior, don't be such a dope.
But I...
Junior,
I tell you,
you come outside with me. I'll prove that you sent your father that robe.
Somebody's nuts around here. Look, I got Pop's gift right here in this package.
What?
A robe from Pitlax.
Oh!
I couldn't get the pipe I wanted to get you. I went to every place in town. So I came back and got the robe. Look.
The same robe.
But, Pop, where did you get the one you're wearing?
Never mind, Junior. You came through for me, and And that's all.
Oh, I get it. You bought the other one. You thought I wasn't going to remember you. Oh, Pop.
Well,
you must think I'm a pretty funny kind of a son.
Oh, it wasn't your father, Junior. It was my fault. I was the one who didn't think you'd remember.
Why, Mom.
Well, I put Mother up to it.
No. No, it was my fault, Junior. I bought it.
Oh, no, Riley, you mustn't take the blame. I bought it.
Junior, I was the doubting Thomas. I bought that robe.
Now, wait a minute. I demand a recount. I went to Pitlack Personal and bought this robe.
I phoned him to deliver it.
I gave Babs the money.
And I brought it home.
Quiet! I know where I got it, don't I?
Well, you needn't yell.
Folks, folks, listen to me.
Goodness, what's going on?
Now, you keep out of this, Marilyn. Next, you'll be saying you sent me this robe.
Why, yes, Mr. Riley. But how did you find out?
This is ridiculous. We couldn't all send him that robe.
Now, wait. Let's get logical. There's only two robes. Junior bought one, and I bought one. Two robes. Get it? Two.
Where's that idiot, Riley? Oh, here you are.
Just a minute, Morris.
Listen, you big baboon. Take back your blasted bathrobes and keep
them
here. Here and here.
Please.
And stop hounding me.
Please. Now I got five bathrobes. Five bathrobes. Just what I needed.
The Rileys will be back in a moment. For hair that's groomed well, it's Marvelous Prel, Procter & Gamble's Radiant Cream Shampoo in the tube. From Hollywood, California, Mrs. E.N. Green writes,
my hair is very dry and fine textured and has always been hard to care for. But Prel leaves it so manageable, looking so clean and radiant. I'm really sold on wonderful Prel.
You'll be sold on Prel, too, once you see how radiant Prel leaves hair, how quickly it removes unsightly dandruff. You'll sing about Prel.
P-R-E-L-L, Prel shampoo, leaves hair radiant, gleaming bright. Not a bit of dandruff is in sight. Comes in a tube, handy too. P-R-E-L-L, Prel shampoo.
Oh, I never had such a headache. You and your five bathrobes.
Yeah. Well, it's wonderful to know that I'm so lovable.
And so modest.
Yeah, and especially that my boy likes me. Don't I look swell in this bathrobe that Junior gave me?
Yes, but to tell you the truth, dear, it makes you look awful fat.
Well, you'd look fat, too, if you was wearing five bathrobes.
You to join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. The script is by Reuben Schiff and Alan Lipscott. Mrs. Riley is Paula Winslow. Digger Odell is John Brown. The Life of Riley is produced by Irving Brecker. And remember, for radiantly clean, lovely hair, get the shampoo in the tube. P-R-E-L-L, Prel Shampoo. This is Ken Niles reminding you to listen again next week when Prel brings you The Life of Riley. And now stay tuned for Truth or Consequences. Good night.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
That's The Life of Riley, June 19th, 1948. Good Father's Day show. And that starred William Bendix as Chester A. Riley, John Brown as Digger Odell, the friendly undertaker. He also played Gillis. He doubled on that show. And then Bobby Ellis, Dink Trout. How'd you like to have that for a name? Dink? D-I-N-K.
It'd be worse for you than for
Trout.
Me.
Trout. Hi, my name is Dink Trout. And Barbara Eiler on that program as well, and it was sponsored by your two of the sponsors that you use every single day, Lisa. Prel shampoo,
right?
That's your favorite shampoo.
It makes my hair very shiny.
And Lava soap.
Oh yeah.
Once a week when you take a bath, whether you need it or not, you use Lava soap.
I use that in the washing machine.
Yeah. So there you go.